KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.
You will love the staff at Abide Napa Cannabis Dispensary, now open in Napa. The Abide staff's understanding of the medical properties of cannabis enable them to expertly consult patients to the optimum recommendation, free of any intimidation. Their mission is simple: provide patients with the highest quality cannabis products at a fair price. Visit AbideNapa.com or call their experts at 707-266-1967. That's 266-1967. Cannabis expertise, way different than the year 1967.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
When I decided to search for a house to buy, I contacted a couple of different agents. One never even got back to me, and the other caused me to question their ability. Lee W. Miller was a far cry from that. Once we connected, Lee was there for me every step of the way. He was responsive, communicative, and insightful. If you're looking for a realtor who is hardworking, has high integrity, and will give you the best possible representation, contact Lee W. Miller.
It's time for All Things Napa with your host, Lee W. Miller, a community leader, full-time realtor, and a serial networker passionate about promoting local businesses. Let's learn what's new in the Napa business scene today.
Welcome to All Things Napa. I am your host, Lee W. Miller. This is the show that has a sole purpose of promoting local businesses, and that's what we're going to be talking to today is two, just like we do every week, two local businesses, and those two today are Alma Callen, the also known as Lady A. She's the founder, CEO, and publisher, and celebrity wine consultant, and owner of buywine.com. What a great URL, buywine.com.
Thank you.
That has to be somebody owns that lives in Napa. That just would not be right if it was, you know, I don't know, Riverside, California, or something that's not necessarily known for wine. And of course, we also have our regular sponsor, our city council person, my personal insurance broker, Bernie Narvaez, Narvaez Insurance Services. And we're going to be hearing from both of them. And we're going to start with Bernie. Alma, feel free to chip in a pearl of wisdom here or there while we talk to Bernie. So, Bernie, what is new on your list today?
Well, good morning, Lee. Good morning, Napa. Lady A, that's the first time I heard that. I didn't know.
You weren't paying attention.
I guess I wasn't.
And you guys know each other.
We do.
And you just,
yes.
That's the beauty of this show, is everybody always learns a little bit something more about somebody else.
So good to see you, Alma.
You too.
It's been a while.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot to talk about, but first I just want to remind people that my business, Narvaez Insurance Services, we're a partner with the DMV. So that means that you can go in there and pay your tags. We have inventory in-house. We can transfer ownership. We can remove suspensions. We can help you with paperwork. If you lost your title, we know exactly what to do. We'll guide you through the process.
So if nobody likes to go to the DMV, so if they can avoid that.
Often, that's what I often hear.
Right.
Again, we're a partner with DMV, so we're here to help. And sometimes when you have multiple owners or transfers of vehicles without a title, or let's say there's been two, three buyers and nobody's changed the ownership, and you're the last one, like you're it, right? There's paperwork to do, and we'll guide you through that. Sometimes it gets complicated. Also, out of states. If you bought a vehicle from out of state, or you're bringing a vehicle from out of state, we can help you with that too.
Good to know. You're not just an insurance broker.
No, no. We in addition to offering business insurance for, you know, a wide range of businesses, from contractors to professional services to some more creative, unique businesses, we also do auto, home, liability, umbrella, things like that. You know, recently we did an empty lot from people that bought some lots and have some homes that were burned down. Now they're empty lots, right? So there's a liability exposure there. We can help you with that until you're ready to decide what you're going to do with that lot.
And of course, an empty lot liability protection is going to be far less than a full-blown homeowner's policy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely worth it. And just another thing is, if you have a lot of assets, if you have multiple properties, you want to think about an umbrella insurance, right? To really have that coverage above your underlying policies. So if you have more than auto and even if with home and auto insurance, you want to have an umbrella. But if you have more things, boats, motorcycles, rental property, think about an umbrella.
Sure.
To really protect you.
Yeah. Just makes sense. Yeah. We are a litigious society.
That's correct. And if you're not sure, talk to your agent or, you know, send me a message and I'll be happy to make a recommendation. So.
Yeah. And I know from firsthand, you're always going to make the recommendation that is best for the client, not necessarily the best sale that you can make. You don't want to overinsure people because you make more money. It's not about that. You're honest, ethical businessman.
Correct. And there's times where I say, you know, stay where you are because you have a good, you got a good package of insurance or you got a good rate of changes and this talk again. So it's really about bringing value to the client or the person. And hopefully in the future, we can do business together, right? So establishing that trust.
Right.
It's not about the sell. It's about building those relationships over time. And that starts with trust.
Right. And that's part and parcel of what the objective of this show is. By people getting to know my guests on a personal level, they'll feel more comfortable in doing business with them because they feel like they have a connection. And all business relationships have a portion of interpersonal relationships. We like to do business with people that we like and that we know and we trust, and that's what this is all about. So, you know, usually when you're a guest, Bernie, you don't really talk that much about Norvia's insurance services.
I haven't.
So I'm glad that you covered that.
Yeah, you know, we've been in business since 2007. My dad's been in business for over 15 years. He started with life insurance in the 90s. And I told myself, that's not what I want to do. and the way we got together, you know, the agency he was working for got bought out by some company in L.A. And that transition wasn't going very well. The company morale wasn't very high. So he was like, what am I going to do? Right. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Well, ding, ding. They just kind of, you know, got together and figured it out. And we started on business.
Yeah.
It was exciting. And, you know, for me, it was a big learning curve because I just got into insurance and I knew I wanted to go after the business industry. And that was, I mean, if I met myself in 2007 with the difference in knowledge, it would be interesting to see my reaction.
Right. Well, and being a small business owner yourself is, it almost ought to be a requirement for someone to be sitting on the city council because they can relate so much better to small businesses. Obviously, you relate to the residents, homeowners and renters, because you've done both. And there's that commonality. But the local small business ownership, I think, is very, very important.
It is. And oftentimes, business owners don't have time for input, you know, to provide their guidance to city council. So I do bring that perspective that I think brings value to many in our community, and just understanding how policies affect businesses, that affect jobs, and affect our quality of life. Our economy is so important.
Yeah. You know, I'm guilty of that, if you want to use the strong word. I read something in the Register or I hear about a policy or something happening, and like most people, I form an opinion on it, or as I should do more, I want to learn more about it before I form an opinion on it, but I'm busy and I don't have time to come to all the city council meetings. So,
and it's even more difficult now as a elected official to comment on social media, because I can't remember what the law on the number is, but it prevents from creating public meeting in social media. So if I'm commenting and another member of the city council comments, now that giving perception of public meeting or you know, without public notice in the public setting. So we have to be careful how we respond on social media.
Or if you respond.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if one of my colleagues says something relating to an agenda or something that we vote on, even by liking it, having a reaction, that could be an issue. Because now I am responding in a way that could say I am in favor or against, right? Or we're communicating. That's a communication. So they've become very strict.
I can't help but think of Joe Biden saying, I hope that they make the right decision. The evidence is overwhelming. That would, in my mind, be a blatant violation of
I think the laws of state, it's to California and to my level of service, not necessarily national. I think they have more flexibility as a president. But I'm no expert there. But at least at the local, it comes down to transparency. Having the process that creates trust.
Right.
Because you go on next door, you go on social media, and oftentimes people make opinions on information that's not all there, right? And
you
want to comment, but then I also don't want to create a violation of that law. So it's very, you don't have a lot of wiggle room.
Right.
Because then you don't have control when they respond, you know, how other people respond, and now you have what seems like a meeting about an issue.
Right. And especially for you who are very active in social media, you must pick your phone up and tap a couple of words and then delete them like multiple times a day when you, wait a minute, before I do this, is this okay kind of a situation?
I have been more careful and I've actually posted less because I'm really trying to figure out how to do it correctly. And it's more about information. So It's an approach that I'm still learning to understand, to make sure that I'm still bringing information to the community the way that they really need it, right? Because not everybody will be at a city council meeting. You know, they'll see on the register, but oftentimes it's not the whole picture.
Right.
It's a good summary of what happened, but also it leaves out other details.
Well, and even the most neutral journalist is always going to lean a certain way, whether it's intentional or unintentional. And so it's important to do more investigation and learn more about a particular scenario before we form an opinion. To that point, I know you probably can't even comment, maybe even nod your head. I just wanted to alert my listeners that next week, Dr. Patricia Gray, the executive director of Gray Haven, the facility that's being proposed to be downtown, that's going to be somewhat of a transition home for ex-cons with mental illness. I saw all the comments on Nextdoor, and you know, one thing that I've become aware of is that I think people form opinions much too quickly. And I'm not necessarily taking a position pro or con on Gray Haven, but I think that all of us as business owners deserve to put our entire plan out there and let everyone become fully informed before people make decisions. And that's what I'm going to be doing next week with Dr. Gray. So,
and it's an issue, you know, it's in my district. I've been listening to both neighbors and the applicant. And early on, I did a tour of the facility to learn more about what they're trying to do. I've met with neighbors. I've exchanged emails, phone calls. So I've been watching it carefully. I've been listening. They submitted a pre-application, which is basically their intent of what they're doing, so the city of Napa is aware. And there's a process for this that, because it's in the historic home, it goes in front of the Cultural Heritage Committee to make sure it's historically correct, and then it goes into planning and city council. So it's a long process. There's a lot of concern. There's been some neighborhood meetings talking about some of the issues. you know, at some point it'll come in front of city council, but before it gets there, there's a process.
Right.
And people are learning more about it. And, you know, eventually we'll get to where we make a decision.
Right.
Because right now they can operate up to 6 people per state license. Anything beyond that, the city will have to approve.
Okay. I didn't even know that the six occupant thing had been approved.
For residential facilities, even with daycare has a limit. Beyond that, you have to get an approval. It's a different limit, but any kind of home residential or residential use facility, like I believe like adult daycare and assisted living facilities, things of that nature have a limit that the state allows by right. Beyond that, the city would have to approve.
Okay. See, we're learning stuff all the time. So, do you want to talk about fractional real estate ownership?
Yeah, I mean, this is something new that just came on my radar last week. Picasso, it's a new business model that allows people to buy second homes. You know, some people seem that are concerned and others like this business model. I'm learning more about it. I've reached out to members of the real estate community because, you know, they're the experts. They're in this every day. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get a full picture of what's going on. I know there's things going up Valley that people are not as supportive of this.
By things up Valley, you're talking about a lawsuit.
Yeah, the city there is. Of a, and I'm not I don't know all the details. I'm not privy to that whole situation. Right. I'm just aware that there is a lawsuit. Staff is looking at ordinance and things for us to be informed, right? When something happens, I'm not familiar with, I asked staff to brief us, to let me know, hey, what's going on? How does this relate to city services, to city law, to make sure that, you know, we're aware of it? Because people are going to reach out to me. And I want to make sure I'm informed and I respond with factual information. Right. So it's something I'm still learning.
Right. Well, and to the point I've made a couple of times already, you are reserving your opinion until such time as you have gathered adequate information on which to base that opinion. And that's the sign of a good leader, in my opinion. So
thank
good
you. For you. And it's a process I try to keep with every issue. Even if I personally really like something or don't like something, I keep the same process. Right. So I'm objective. And unbiased. That's really what I want to do, is make sure I'm not biased when, you know, two parties are trying to either prove or deny something that will be on, you know, there will be a decision for city to make. So right. I got to look at it both ways.
Right. Well, and you have to make the decision that's best for the community as a whole, even sometimes maybe if it's against what your personal preferences would be if you were not an elected, you have to choose for the city's higher good.
That also happens.
Yeah.
Right. You gotta look at the whole picture and make a decision.
Right. Well, yeah, I've been conducting my own little informal poll, and overwhelmingly, the residents that I've spoken to believe that fractional ownership is the antithesis of community building. When people come in for a weekend or 3 or 4 days at a time, those are the people that are never going to attend a nonprofit fundraiser. They're not going to read the register and know what's going on in the community or care because they live somewhere else. So in a community that is already tourist-based, that we already have a, you know, what is it, 4 to 5 million a year come in here, that we're rubbing elbows and shoulders with them, but they don't really have a say in what's going on, nor do they care. I think that's an important thing, that we not have 8 more for each one of these households that match that profile.
And the challenge is also is if you get in business with another person, create an LLC to buy a home and you rent it out. I mean, how do you... And that's the challenge, is look
at that. But you can't rent it out for less than 30 days. That's our city ordinance.
Right, right. But what I mean, it's a tenant, right? If you and I get into business to flip a property and make a profit and rent it out to a tenant, you know, so what I'm saying is we have to look at the whole picture and what the goal is here, right? Before we make that decision, because, you know, the market created an opportunity for this business model, but it's also creating some concerns, right? So I'm still looking at what they're doing, what other cities are doing to get that whole picture and be able to really understand what we need to do. Because housing is important. We're in a housing crisis.
Right.
Right? So how does this contribute to that? So it's...
Or does it?
Or doesn't. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, Picasso says that it does, but, you know, they're taking eight buyers and squeezing them into one house. But that's not... that's a marketing spin if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'll get more information because I have to reference our city ordinance. I got to look at our housing stock and what we're...
What housing stock? Yeah. We have stock.
What's the... Well, you're a realtor. What's the... I heard the vacancy was close to 1% several months earlier this year.
Yeah, the rental vacancy is about 1%.
1%.
And a healthy vacancy rate in any community is typically 5 to 6%.
5 to 6%. Yeah. That's amazing.
And we're rarely over 2, 2.5% here.
I don't even think... Maybe at some point last year, we were at 3%. Pre-pandemic, we were at maybe over a year ago, we were at 3%, I believe.
Wow.
And that was like pretty high. And still,
right.
It's low, but by comparison, it's high.
Well, and regarding housing, obviously, you know, I'm a realtor. Made an offer yesterday and we went in $35,000 over asking and we were not successful. And it turns out over $130,000 over asking on a $900,000 listing, it's well over $1 million.
Wow.
So there's your housing that, you know, that speaks to the inventory or the lack thereof.
Well, you know, that brings me to the next topic, which is the general plan process. We went over the land use element as a city council, and we looked at specific properties, we looked at densities, and that's really the time from a policy perspective on how we're going to address housing densities, right? Because we are in a housing crisis. We need housing stock. I mean, there's no way around it. So for those of you that don't know, the city of Napa has a planning area, right? We have city limits. We have the RUL, which is a rural urban limit, where county starts when the city starts. And within the RUL is the planning area. That's where we set aside that area that's not developed for future development. So we have several areas, one in particular that has been a big topic of discussion, which is the Gisela property.
Right.
And that was one specific property that we talked about as far as what's the future for that property. And the general direction was that let's look at how housing is going to look here. But not, there's no plans to develop. There's no contract or anything. We're just saying what's the appropriate density. When we get the environmental impact report, then we're going to look at what the constraints are, right? Because we got to look at environmental limitations, and that's going to change the density. That's going to change how whoever decides to take this on will be able to build out.
Are you familiar with any RUL area in the last 10 years? So as I understand, RUL, it's been set aside for future development. In the last 10 years, has any development occurred on any RUL?
Well, Napa Pipe was annexed with an agreement with Napa County.
But was that RUL?
No, that got...
I know, it was before your time, so I didn't mean to put you on the
spot. No, it's okay. I'm just thinking if that was within the RUL or if it got expanded. I think it was... I don't recall. I don't remember that the borderline there. If it was RUL or if it was just county. So
I thought it was just annexed from county to city.
It was, but like it's like properties in county and still needs to get annexed. It can be within the RUL, the planning area, but it still needs to get annexed.
Okay.
Right. So the RUL is not necessarily in the city limits.
Okay.
It's just set aside for growth.
So my reason for asking the question is I've been a resident here 9 years, and I'm not aware of any development other than some infill And the fact that you described the RUL as set aside for future development, well, everybody in Napa, it seems, the future is not now. The future is after I'm dead and gone, because there is no development here at all. And I'm not Mr. Pro-development. Let's just mow the trees down and pull out the vines and build homes. But
right. Yeah,
yet everyone talks about housing, housing, housing. And for 9 years, I haven't seen any progress. And it's because no matter where it is proposed, there's a neighborhood group that says, oh, this is a great idea. This is in the wrong location, or, you know, whatever. So
well, there's another place off Big Ranch Road that's east of Vintage that's also being looked at for changing the density. Mm-hmm. And there is some neighborhood concern there as well. So
there always will be. And that's
and you know, it's not doesn't mean that those concerns are wrong.
No.
Right. It's just let's have a discussion. We're not making decisions without public input, because, you know, the Gislea property, there's still, we're really looking at it. But part of the discussion is we probably need to do a master plan, really, really look at that whole area, depending on what the density will be, what the impact environmental impact report will tell us, and have a broader discussion. Right. We're not just saying pave the whole thing with housing. We're not saying that.
Right.
We're just saying we have a housing. We need to address housing. This is a area that's been planned, I believe, since the 70s for potential housing. So with the general plan, we have to look at everything's when we started with the general plan, before I was a city council, I was in the general plan committee, and we said everything's on the table. And as things come, as we move forward in the process, we'll take things off that are not appropriate. Right. So that was kind of the beginning. And for if you look at Napa Oaks and Timber Hill, Napa Oaks got designated Greenbelt, right? All through GPAC, through planning, and to City Council, right? So we're and that's with a lot of public input. Initially, it wasn't designated that. It was designated, I believe, low single family residential or very low, which will allow development beyond what it's allowed now. But that was changed through a process with a lot of public input.
Right.
So public input is important. Doesn't mean that we don't ignore it. We listen to it. But we have to weigh in everything. We have to look at the big picture.
I'm glad you're the city council person and not me, because I like being involved. I like being informed, I like throwing my opinion out there, but I don't want to make the decision. And probably one of the most difficult decisions made publicly that I can think of in the most recent times is the decision to close Harvest Middle School. And, you know, my hat is off to those officials that had to make that very difficult decision, because all of the arguments as to why it should not be closed really resonate. But
oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to. Yeah,
right.
Sorry. I don't think anybody wants to close a school. It's right. Do we need to? And I'm not going to comment very much because it's not in my jurisdiction. I don't have all the information.
Right.
Right. And it's I know that it's not an easy decision just based on what I've seen. And people tried to get city council involved, but we don't get involved in what their authority is. Just like they only get involved in what our authority is,
right?
Or influence each other. We help each other. There's overlap with, you know, if there is declining enrollment, you know, I can assume it's due to housing crisis, right? So that's where we can help.
Right.
But yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Vintage Sotheby's International Realty, Napa's only locally owned and operated Sotheby's Realty office, has an amazing team of experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Vintage Sotheby's Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate matters. Visit VintageSotheby'sRealty.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685. Vintage Sotheby's International Realty, Napa's only locally owned and operated Sotheby's Realty office, has an amazing team of experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Vintage Sotheby's Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate matters. Visit VintageSotheby'sRealty.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
Here's a home selling tip. To impress buyers and give your house a boost before selling, it's super important to declutter. Potential buyers need to view the home with no personal items of yours to be more apt to picture themselves living there. Want more tips and have questions? I'm Lee W. Miller. Find me at leewmiller.com every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right here on this radio station, or call me at 707-266-1585.
You will love the staff at Abide Napa Cannabis Dispensary, now open in Napa. The Abide staff's understanding of the medical properties of cannabis enable them to expertly consult patients to the optimum recommendation, free of any intimidation. Their mission is simple: provide patients with the highest quality cannabis products at a fair price. Visit AbideNapa.com or call their experts at 707-266-1967. That's 266-1967. Cannabis expertise, way different than the year 1967.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.
And just like that, we're back. Thank you, Bernie. Stick around. Kibitz in here and there. It's time to talk to Alma Cowan. That's an Irish name.
Technically it is. And it's Latin also.
And Latin and Irish. Okay.
Very true. Very Latin. So.
Okay. Well, it reminds me of The Outlander. There was one of the names was similar to that. So what is your background and your history? What brought you to Napa? I always like to try and ask every guest their connection to Napa, when and how and why they came here.
Well, long story short, in 1988, I came to America as a Catholic exchange teacher. And it was for 6 months, and then I went 6 months to Peru and came back. But before I went to Peru, I had the opportunity of coming here to Napa. And I was young, and of course, being from Ireland, you know, it's farmland and you see everything. And I'll never forget, and I think, Bernie, you've heard the story before, was going up in the gondola in Sterling Vineyards. Mm-hmm. And I called my mommy and daddy back then when they were living, and I said, "Daddy, I'm looking down at vineyards." And he goes, "What's that?" I said, "It's grapes." And he goes, "Can you eat them?" I said, "No, it's the wine." And he goes, "Why would they do that?" Of course, you know, not understanding, right? And I said, and it's always emotional when I think of this, I said, I will do something in the wine industry one day. Not sure what it will be, but I will.
And it was,
that was 80.
The genesis was the gondola ride at Sterling.
Yeah, and I was looking down, seeing, you know, the little water area and the vines, and I called home and I knew in my heart, it gave me, you know, the tingle saying, I'll do something in the wine industry. Don't know what it would be. And so many years later, I did. And again, it's that spirit in you as an immigrant here. You know, you work hard to achieve what you want to achieve. And I had that vision then, and, you know, kind of sort of the rest is history. And I love being here, actually. Napa's my home now.
So how long has it been your home since that experience? Because you obviously didn't stay from that point on. You left and came back.
I left and I came back, and I lived in the greater Sacramento area. I lived in Gold River and El Dorado Hills area.
Oh, I'm Sacramento 32 years.
Yeah.
And we didn't meet until we came to a small town.
Absolutely. Well, I was the last honorary mayor for Rancho Cordova before they came incorporated. And that kind of sort of was my popularity stamp for being in some form of politics. But that said, I've always been in media. So I've been a director of sales and marketing for a newspaper, done radio. I've been in outdoor advertising, out of home, we call it. And so that technically is my background. Media is my world. And had the opportunity of always coming back and forth here to the Napa area, Sonoma area, Santa Rosa area, or the greater wine country. And always fell in love with it, and I knew in my heart I wanted to be here, and obviously I'm here. I raised a daughter. She went to school in the wine country, and now she's in Nashville graduating from Lipscomb University with a Bachelor's of Science here in May.
It's always a proud thing for parents to appreciate their children's accomplishments. It's one thing that we don't get told when we're young,
right?
That you know, the love that you have for a child is so different. You hear that, but you can't really feel it until you feel it and experience it. But then the other little blessing of children is to see them grow up and become productive citizens. And you're not quite there, Bernie. They're a little young to be taking care of themselves yet.
Even though they think they're older than they really are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
my
definitely.
Gosh.
Yeah, for
Remember
sure.
those days. No, I'm very proud of Victoria. She is my heart and my soul, for what she has accomplished. I'm just incredibly, no words can describe how proud I am of her.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that evokes emotion as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Bernie knows me. I mean, there's not very many things that can get to me because I'm a rock. But
You're
my
tough.
Daughter, I'm tough. But my daughter
right.
will.
Right.
You know, and of course, when you have no family, I have my other half, Joe. But when your family's in a different country, it's a different thing.
Sure.
It's hard to explain that. But if you're from a different country, you understand it.
Right.
But again, I'm very proud to be here. I'm an American citizen a couple of years ago. After all these years, I became one.
Congrats.
Thank you, Bernie.
That is wonderful.
That is a big thing, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was one of the best things ever. I mean, I had some local people here go to Oakland for my swear-in. And, of course, Joe was by my side up in the balcony looking down. And it was one of my proudest moments, to be
honest. I remember my swear-in.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, when you work so hard to achieve something and you end up knowing more about the country than people who are born here, no offense.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But it's great.
And yeah, and how many natives would never be able to pass the test?
Oh, my gosh.
They don't understand three branches of government or any of that stuff.
No. But I'm proud. I mean, there's a lot of accomplishments I've done, and I'm proud of them, but, you know.
Right. So let's talk about wine. Let's talk about buywine.com. Like I mentioned in the intro, what a great URL, especially for being here. So tell us about what that business is.
Well, buywine.com is everything about wine.
It's not just a source to buy wine.
No. We're going to be launching in a couple of weeks here in mid-May our large wine store. So you can buy wine then, but we have a wine academy on there. A lot of people are intimidated by white wine, red wine. What is it? There's so many different varietals. We've made it quite easy. We wrote a book with a gentleman that's the Academy of Wine, and I think I sent you a link. You can buy it on Amazon, but you can learn everything you want to know and impress your date, impress your wife, saying, I know all about where this grape came from, if it came from España, it came from, you know, Italy, whatever, and what food it pairs with. But the bottom line with buywine.com, we're here to help the local winery owner. We started off originally to help the boutique winery because it's easy to make wine, but it's super hard to sell it. And you can be sitting on inventory, and how do you move it? drink it yourself if you're a small boutique winery, but there's different avenues, and that's where we fit in. We're humble enough that we can be like Bernie. We're here to answer any questions. My door is open. Bernie, you know that. Come on in and I will help sell your wine.
And that is so important, because the big brands, that their volume is sufficient that they can sell through distribution and have a huge chunk of their margin depleted. The boutique wineries can't do that, especially if they're only making 3,000 to 5,000 cases.
Correct.
Where else are they going to sell it?
And even 500 cases people are sitting on that could be phenomenal wine that up valley, $200-$300 a bottle they're charging, but yet they can't sell it. We're the avenue that can push that and sell it, because we have the audience. I work a lot influencing down in Los Angeles with celebrities, and they can, most boutique wineries can't afford to advertise the wineries, whereas I have that one-stop shop for them to do that.
So when you say you're opening a store, is that going to be an online store, or is it a physical brick and mortar?
No brick and mortar. When I first started buywine.com, I have every appellation around the world, so buywinenapa.com, etc., was on the basis that people would buy exclusively online, getting wines that they couldn't find at the grocery store, helping that small vineyard. And online is where it is moving forward. I said this 10 years ago. A lot of people said I was loca, though I was crazy. No one's going to buy wine online, and look at the pandemic, what it did to us.
Yeah.
And I actually got calls from people saying, Alma, I apologize. You saw something. Not saying I'm psychic, but that said, but the reality of it is,
it's a big difference between psychic and just having forethought.
Exactly. And I think there's where we're blessed and humbled that we can help that small winery owner, whether it's, again, they're making 250 cases or they're making even 10,000 cases. There's no one's different in our world. Everyone can sell their wine on buywine.com. We're less affordable than most distributors, and we're nice. We're here local.
Right.
You can pop in and come and sit on the couch. Bernie, you can attest to that.
Oh, yeah. It's a great location.
Yeah. So,
so you offer an education for the people who are novice and don't really know what they're going to buy. I'm assuming the book has been written in a, you know, not a...
For me to understand, because
okay.
I know, like, okay, I like red wine, but I couldn't tell you where it comes from. And it's been explained to me a few times and it just doesn't register. So having that handy is like, okay, that's what I'm drinking.
Right.
And it's not intimidating. And that was the whole thing with the book. We launched it a couple of years ago at the Emmys. With Viola Davis, which was quite wonderful. And the feedback down in Los Angeles at that said time with the Emmys, you know, celebrity says, oh gosh, we don't know anything about wine. We just know red and white. And they were looking and reading our book and they're like, ah, are you serious? Something made so simple. And our tagline is quench your thirst for knowledge. And I always say, come on, I'm going to quench your thirst for knowledge. Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And it's not what you say, it's how you say it, as I always say, just saying. But most definitely, when something is in a simpler term, it's easy for your 8-year-old child to understand or your 80-year-old grandmother.
Boy, you know, we talked a little before the show about it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And that has been a mantra of mine for a long, long time.
Absolutely.
So, boy, we have a lot in common. As well as our punctuality.
Absolutely. And integrity, like Bernie hit on earlier, I think that's the foundation that myself and Joe have had for our company for all these years. We built it on integrity. It's taken us a little longer to get where we needed to go. But at the end of the day, we're proud of where we are and where we're going. Buywine.com is a staple and will help the small boutique wineries move forward and sell their inventory. And I'm going to be proud when they're calling me and saying, hey, Alma, pre-sell my next vintage. You sold out everything.
Yeah.
And that would be a dream come true for somebody to say, hey, Alma, that's what we want, you know?
Right. Well, and it's great that you're offering the education, but with that education, then the buyers of wine can have access to wine, like you said, that they're not necessarily going to find in the grocery store. And they are able to help a local vintner that's boutique everybody wins.
Absolutely. I mean, we got a call a couple of weeks ago from a vintner back east, and they only produce 600 cases, and asked, could you possibly help me? And I actually met that lady at an event here a good few years ago. I gave my card to Up Valley, and she remembered it. And, of course, I own that region for my wine also. But she asked me, could you possibly help me with our production? I've said, absolutely. Just send me your information. We'll put you up there. We'll give you free advertising for 6 months. And that's another thing that we're doing for the small boutique wineries. We're offering free advertising, and we're linking that to other businesses also. So it's a win-win situation.
So you're publishing their information, educating anybody that goes to your site, so that in turn it helps them sell wine, and then you get compensated from that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the consumer that will be happy with the knowledge that they get, with the wine that they purchase. And then the other side is helping the small boutique winery, and of course the medium and large sizes also. But it's twofold. And I think it's really simple, to the fact that, you know, going back to pre-pandemic or even pandemic last year, it took that for people to realize that our local is where it is. And I'm a firm believer that we have to do business with local businesses. And that's where it should be moving forward. I mean, like Bernie said, I mean, his business is successful, and now he's helping with a collaboration with the DMV. That's phenomenal, Bernie. I love that. So with us, we want a small boutique winery owner to come in and say, hey, heard you on the radio station. Come on. I want to come down and see if you can help me sell my wine. My door is open.
And for all of the listeners that might want to try to support local, that's what our community is all about. That's why I do this show. I'm not a media person. I'm a full-time real estate agent. I love doing that. I love helping people, but I'm so passionate about helping local businesses that I volunteer my time here for an hour, basically because my clients, Will and Jalissa, the owners of the station, said, hey, Lee, you should have your own radio show. And here we are. I've been Absolutely. Doing this for 2 years, and it's a lot of fun, and it helps a little bit, I hope, to stimulate local business.
And that's where it is. I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, we should give a handout to everyone.
Yeah. So now we understand, and hopefully people will take action and go to buywine.com. They can connect with you. They can ask questions via email. They can buy the book. And they can certainly buy a few bottles of wine from local producers.
Absolutely.
So the Oscars just passed.
Oh, yes.
And in the past, when life was quote-unquote normal, that was an event that you kind of regularly attended and rubbed elbows with celebrities and talked up buywine.com?
Absolutely. Well, that's what I do best. I'm a schmoozer, how Bernie.
is that on your business card?
No, I should add it, right? My heart feels sad. I mean, even Joe can attest to this, and a few of my friends in Los Angeles, I've been ignoring them. Sorry, guys, if you're listening. But when you do something for so many years, and we've been the title sponsor for a pre-Oscar party. So we'll just focus on the Oscars, since that's what just passed. Mm-hmm. And we bring one or two local wineries to the Oscars with us, and that's what's given out at the pre-party, as an example. And it's the swag room, as they call it down there.
Right.
But we're the title sponsor. So, you know, some people say I'm the belle of the ball down there, but not necessarily. I'm so proud to bring our community of Napa and the greater wine country to Los Angeles and to the Oscars. The feedback we get down there is phenomenal. A lot of celebrities who have even come up here, and privately can't say who they are, but the airport's by my office. It's easy for me to go pick them up, to come to the office, and we have a good old time. But their social media is so huge. There's where buywine.com has an advantage over a lot of people or a lot of companies for marketing. And that's why we've been so successful, and we're going to be more successful moving forward for that boutique winery, because they can't afford the advertising, but yet I can make one call and say, how you doing? And somebody will say, what do you need, Alma? I'll say, can you bleep this out for this winery for me? And they'll do it on all of their social media because of the foundation that I've personally built and Joe and buywine.com has for so many years. And in giving one receives, and I think that foundation that we've done down there, it's taken a long time because kind of sort of we weren't making money, but you have to plant that seed and you have to fertilize it. You got to water it. And that's what I've done with the company, to the fact that we planted those seeds down there, and all of a sudden now when I need X, Y, and Z, they're my friend. I'm proud to call a lot of celebrities my friends. You know, I don't think they're celebrities. They're just, hey, they're just my right. friends.
Well, you say plant seeds, but I think it's even more than planting seeds, because it's building that foundation, and that foundation with those celebrities who are naturally very guarded, and virtually every person that ever meets them wants to take something from them and mm-hmm. exploit the relationship. You obviously have not done that. You've been a solid business person and a friend, and so that trust is there that now it's paying off for you.
It's totally paying off, and I love, I won't say the person's name, but it's funny. Five years ago.
Come on, everybody's dying to hear
Mr. Savage, I'll just put it that way. So a lot of the guys say, oh, I don't want wine today, it's too early. And then the publicist who puts it on, Doris Bergman PR, have to give a shout out to poor Doris there and there. But she goes, you got to come over here and meet Lady A. She's from Ireland. All of a sudden, Mr. Savage and some other people, even Mr. Stallone said this, oh, you're from Ireland? I love Ireland. And Mr. Savage goes there every year. I don't know, he probably didn't go there last year, and does projects of lifeguarding, because the Atlantic Ocean is so rough on the west coast of Ireland. That there, down there, kind of sort of is my little foot inside the door also, is saying I'm from Ireland, because the Irish have a great heart, we're very giving, and I love hearing stories when celebrities go to Ireland, they've worked on projects there, and they say, we love the people, we love the food, and we love directions. Go down there by the church, by the big tree around the corner, and it'll be on the left. I mean, this is what they say back, and it's great. And that makes my heart feel wonderful, and that was another reason why I made friends so quickly down there, was the basis of just being me, I think, and just being from Ireland, and having just the, not necessarily the coolness, I wouldn't say that, but my mother was a famous musician back in the day, God rest her soul. So I've never treated anyone who's a celebrity any different than someone who's a farmer like my daddy was. So everyone's equal. So they weren't used to that. They were used to people saying, I want an autograph. Well, what can you do for me? I mean, in my mind, I'm like, what can you do for me? But not really, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, right. It's been a fun ride down there. I miss it. I hope we can get back to it maybe next year or the year after. But I think right now is the time to focus on our local.
Yes.
Great story. I learned a few new things from you.
You did? Very
yeah.
Got to hang out more often.
That's right.
we'll do this again.
Absolutely.
So any other stories, without naming anybody specific, that you can share how a celebrity endorsement made a big impact on a particular business, whether it's a winery business or somebody outdoor advertising or what have you?
Absolutely. I mean, outdoor, out of home, I worked for years. I'll focus on that going backwards. You know, I've traveled all over. I did even Latino, Hispanic media for years. And when you build a relationship with someone or a celebrity, you have that foundation for years. And when you do call them, they'll answer the call. And if someone's in need, especially for charity, I've been very focused on charity for many, many years, especially for children. And they'll help. And to me, that's a wonderful thing. They don't say no to me. And again, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Going back to that full circle again. But I've had great support from people if I ask them when it's for charity. And that's important. For winery owners, there's some winery owners right now who are boutique, who are sitting on some white wine. We'll just be generic for a moment. And I can make a call down to LA or even to Atlanta, Georgia. There's a new film studio there. Can you buy 20 cases? Can you buy 30 cases? And that's an easy thing for them to do. Whereas sometimes online, it'll take a good few people to buy that large amount.
Yeah.
But when you have the ability that I have to make that one call, that's the thing. I just want the opportunity for winery owners to get the opportunity of to come and meet me. Bernie, you know, again, my door's open. If you come and meet me and you tell me what you're sitting on, give me a challenge. Give me a deadline. I'll make it happen. Bottom line.
Ooh, I like that.
Go get her.
how do people reach you?
Reach me easy. Buywine.com is our website. My email is easy. Alma, A-L-M-A, at buywine.com. Or my cell phone, I always give that out. I've got no problem. Area code 916-833-2560. And if you forget all of that, of course, if you call the radio station here at KVON, they will give you my information.
And I always say, if you miss any of this information because you're driving, good for you, not trying to write while you're driving. You can always reach out to me, LeeWMiller@gmail.com, and I'll help put you in touch with any of our guests. So, wow, this was fun. I can't believe it was a whole hour already, and we're done.
Sad, huh, Bernie?
I know.
It is. So, let's do this again.
Absolutely.
Last question. Are all of the boutique wineries that you represent kind of high-end, or is the full spectrum of you can get a smoking deal on maybe a $20 bottle of wine or a $200 bottle of wine?
You know what I always say, and it's even in the book, my palate's different than your palate. I've never smoked. Maybe somebody else has smoked. Their palate's different. Sometimes a $5 to a $7 bottle of wine can be as equally good as a $200 bottle. Pinot Grigio right now, if you get a good deal on it, it can be $7. That was $30. So you have to understand people are sitting on wine.
Yep. Great. I think we'll end with that because my mouth is watering for some Pinot Grigio.
I got to go buy some wine.
Absolutely. Right. Buywine.com.
Okay. Remember to live each day of your life as if your legacy matters.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
You will love the staff at Abide Napa Cannabis Dispensary, now open in Napa. The Abide staff's understanding of the medical properties of cannabis enable them to expertly consult patients to the optimum recommendation, free of any intimidation. Their mission is simple: provide patients with the highest quality cannabis products at a fair price. Visit AbideNapa.com or call their experts at 707-266-1967. That's 266-1967. Cannabis expertise, way different than the year 1967.
Vintage Sotheby's International Realty, Napa's only locally owned and operated Sotheby's Realty office, has an amazing team of experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Vintage Sotheby's Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate matters. Visit VintageSotheby'sRealty.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.